Reading the newspaper this morning, we see continual evidence of chaos and evil in our world. As the ongoing investigations into the German Wings air crash, we read of a massacre at a university in Kenya. And we read of Vladimir Putin recklessly threatening nuclear war with the United States. And I ask myself, who's in charge? Who is really in charge here? Who was in charge on the day Jesus was crucified? Was it the Jewish leaders? The council of the elders who had authority to charge him with blasphemy and drag him off to Pilate? Was it Pilate who had authority over Jesus' life to punish or to release and to eventually hand him over to death? Who was in charge? Was it the crowd? The crowd who managed to prevail with Pilate through strength of numbers, through shouting and the threat of disorder and anarchy, and by their sheer bloodthirst. Someone or something was in charge. Something had pushed forward these events to their horrific conclusion. And when it's over, we read that people went away beating their breasts, filled with remorse, filled with regret, realizing they'd been complicit in the agenda of a force greater than themselves. And who was in charge? Jesus said himself at his arrest, "But this is your hour, when darkness reigns." Darkness is in charge. And yet, in the midst of that very darkness, Jesus makes his confession. Ironically, in the very words that condemn him, he says, "But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." For the moment, darkness reigns, but only for a moment, and only by God's choosing and Jesus' willing consent. But ultimately, God is in charge. Jesus is God's right-hand man, God's executive. And in the future, all will see it. And when we see the way in which Jesus dies, the way in which he forgives those who are nailing him to the cross and prays God's forgiveness upon them, when he comforts the penitent criminal hanging next to him and gives him the promise of paradise, when he entrusts his spirit into the hands of his Father, when he breathes his last, when darkness covers the land and the temple veil is torn in two, when we see God's hand at work in these events, we're brought to ask ourselves, if God is in charge here, and if Jesus went willingly according to God's purpose and plan, then who really was on trial. Is it really Jesus we are brought to question? Or as we see his character on display, are we not also brought to question the guards who mock, who abuse, and who insult a detained man who did nothing worthy of such treatment? Is it really Jesus we must question? Or is it the council of the elders who had made up their minds that Jesus should die long before they had ever gathered to question him and reach a verdict? Or should we question Pilate and Herod, who had less interest in justice than in maintaining their positions of power? Or surely we should question the crowd, who are merely acting like a mob and have no sense at all. We're brought to question the condemned men who hang next to Jesus, neither of whom have anything left to lose. One mocks and heaps abuse. The other makes a frank acknowledgement that his crimes deserve death. He recognizes Jesus as the king in waiting and asks him for salvation. And surely we're brought to question and consider the centurion who stands at the foot of the cross, a hardened man who had dealt with many, many criminals and overseen many, many gruesome crucifixions. But upon witnessing the events leading to Jesus' death, upon seeing Jesus' character on display and the way in which he died, declared, "Surely this was a righteous man." Luke has given us this account of the way things really went down that day. And it's there for all to read. And we, like that centurion, stand at the foot of the cross. And we are asked to reach our verdict. Do we mock? Do we say, "Here hangs an insurrectionist who got exactly what he deserved"? Do we side with the crowd? Or do we treat the whole thing lightly, as did Pilate and Herod? If you were standing at the foot of the cross that day, what would you say when you saw him die? Would you say with the centurion, "Whatever else you might say about this man Jesus, surely he was a righteous man"? Because if he was a righteous man, then he was a truthful man. And if he was a truthful man, then he is indeed who he said he was, the King of the Jews, the Messiah, and the Son of God, whose death was not a failure, not even a temporary failure, but the means through which our access to God has been restored.